Well, personally, I'm fired up to be here. And, I'm very appreciative of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and the true hope that it gives. I'm really thankful that God has given us the tools to be able to prove that the Bible is God's Word and that we can know, in the words of the Apostle John, we actually can know exactly where we stand. And see, the only thing that counts really is what condition you're in when you breathe your last breath. Now, another thing I can tell you, don't wait till then. Just kind of going through it when Mrs. Wilson passed from this particular location to a better one. People don't change. See, they think, oh yeah, I'll make the big switch, here in the deathbed or whatever. You can't. You're either death's come so quick, case of an accident or heart attack or something, that you can't change, or your final hours, your final days, your final weeks is such an intense battle with the decreasing function of the body that it occupies all your energy and you can't change. See, so you're going to go out the way you live. So the solution is figure out how to live. Turn tonight to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16:1. The Pharisees and Sadducees came up, and testing him, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied to them, "When it's evening, you say it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, there'll be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? Evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. A sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah." And he left him and went away. Now, Jesus is generally not how people picture him. I remember one time I was in Zanesville, Ohio. And I was working with some people. We went down to the intensive care there in the hospital in Zanesville to see a guy that had a heart attack. And there was a Methodist minister in there. And he had one of these kind of crosses hung down to about here. It kind of swung like a pendulum when he walked. This thing was so big, okay? But he was really nice, very pastorly, very gentle, That's his picture of Jesus. Now, Jesus isn't how he's pictured most of the time. One of the things he said, "Don't think that I came to bring peace on earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." See, that's sounds like war talk to me. Because that's what it is. It's warfare. And so you and I, when we decide that we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, and we're going to follow in his footsteps, we agreed to join the war. Now here, of course, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they come up testing him. Now, I think you guys just got the opportunity, many of you, to kind of watch the video that we did back in 2002 with Mr. Chuck Dowdy. And I don't know if you understood all that. A lot of it's hard to absorb, a lot of it's hard to follow. But the core discussions in that video are the foundational issues that you really have to deal with when you're talking about the church. You talk about truth, talk about sin, you're talking about responsibility. See, one of the things that you and I have to understand is that, first of all, this world is a rebellion against God. I mean, the rebellion started in Genesis chapter 3, and it's been escalating ever since. Hadn't backed off at all. It started off very good, and that's the last time that was ever said. Okay. And so the rebellion is there. And mankind as a whole are, in the language of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, they're enemies. Enemies. Enemies of God, enemies of Jesus Christ. Now, many of them are kind of unintentional enemies, but they get that way once they're confronted with the gospel. You study the book of Acts, you see, you know, early on, say, even when Jesus was on earth, okay, the common people loved him. They had to get him in the middle of the night. And Jesus asked them, said, how come you come in the nighttime? He said, every day I was teaching in the temple or in the synagogues. You want to know what I teach? Ask these people. They know what I said. See, they had to come at night because of the people. Early on, the people protected the apostles. But by the time you get to Acts chapter 12, the people have turned against the gospel. See, it's a progressive hardening when people are confronted with their personal responsibility and their refusal to do that. So we got a whole world that's in rebellion. Now Jesus said, you know, in the temperate zones, you know, you can tell whether there's a storm coming or not by the way the sky is. I mean, you see those old thunder clouds billowing in the west. Probably better should be heading for cover. So I remember when my daughter Diamond was going to college here in Billings, and the tornado alarm went off. She was at the mall. So she made a beeline home because she thought that's what you do in a tornado. Well, what'd she know? She's from Bozeman. Don't have tornadoes. You know. See, I mean, you head for someplace safe when you see one of those things coming in. So Jesus said, you know, you ought to be able to tell whether from the weather, whether it's fair weather or storms coming in. Now, he's not talking about the weather. He's using the weather to talk about what else is going on. Now you think about it. Jesus is here. Here's old John the Immerser. He starts his ministry before Jesus does. And they recognize he's a prophet. I mean, there's this guy out there in the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey, you know, wearing camel skin coats. And the people are coming by the thousands out to hear him. They're coming to be immersed by him in the Jordan River. Now, how long has it been, you guys, where you're standing in one spot preaching and people are coming by the thousands to have you immerse them? Ever happened? See, so things are shaking. Things are moving. You know, there's all this stuff. I mean, John comes in, he hits town. The first word out of John's mouth is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. That gets people stirred. They're excited, see, because they've been waiting 1,000 years. 1,000 years since the first prophecy to David in 2 Samuel 7. 1,000 years they've been waiting. And now the kingdom of heaven's at hand. John gets thrown in prison. Guess what? Jesus takes it up. What's the first word out of his mouth? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. See, things are stirring. Things are stirring. And that was a sign to the times there. And of course you had the Romans. Romans just above all else wanted to keep peace in the empire. I mean, they were basically bureaucrats, and they didn't want to have to put their coffee cups down any more than necessary to deal with things. So, you know, they wanted it peaceful. And that was Pilate, Pontius Pilate's big responsibility. Keep it peaceful, boy. Orders from Rome. Keep it peaceful down there. See, that's why, and the Jews knew that. So when it came time to Jesus to be crucified, and Pilate wouldn't let him go, what'd they do? They create a riot. You know, they had Jesse Jackson, the rent-a-mob boy, show up. Al Sharpton was preaching in the street, and they were, you know, they're there. And they pressured Pilate, and Pilate caved in. Said, all right, I don't find any guilt in him. I don't find any evil in him. But take him away, crucify him, you know, keep the peace. Well, Jesus knows all that's coming. So he said, you guys, you can discern the sky, but he said, you can't discern the times here. Now, we got to stop and think a little bit. The Department of Homeland Security just recently purchased 1.6 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition. Now, who do you think that's for? You will be peaceful or you will be secure. So you got to pay attention to things like that. Cyprus took 60% of the bank account. Just whoosh, took them, right? Coming to a bank near you. See, only thing holding that off is the dollar is the world currency. See, so we can inflate a lot more than other countries can. That is, we can cause the whole world to crash at the same time. How about Stockton, California? Bankrupt, right? Right? Think they're going to pay their pensions? You think Stockton, California is the only city in trouble in this country? Ever hear of something called unfunded liabilities? Okay, state of Montana is one of the best. You know, we have our surface budgets under control, right? Okay, Google unfunded liabilities for the state of Montana and find out what you got there. See, my point is, you need to pay attention to signs of the times. Now, you have to understand that everybody's buying, everybody's selling. Okay, tonight I'm selling. Okay, as I'm trying to persuade you of something, I'm trying to convince you of something. See, everybody buying, everybody selling. Don't everybody, and nobody neutral. You don't ever think they are. Okay, so gun control—that's for the safety of the citizens, right? That's what it's being sold as, right? Okay, do you know how much the federal government cares about the safety of its citizens? You know how much the federal government cares about the safety of innocent children? 1.2 million per year aborted. They don't care about safety of kids. Anytime they're talking about safety of kids, that's just to sell you on something else. You know, turn to Luke 22. Jesus and the apostles are you know, I mean, apostles making brave talk, you know. Yeah, we'll die with you, you know. And Jesus said to Peter in verse 34, I say to you, Peter, rooster will not crow today until you deny it three times. You even know me, okay? Then, teaching moment. Because they got two swords. We know Peter's got one, we don't know who's got the other. Now, Peter's going to use his at an inopportune time. And Jesus is going to tell him to put that thing back in the scabbard. Okay, but he's looking ahead here. Verse 35, and he said to them, when I sent you out without money, belt, and bag, and sandals, he said, you didn't lack for anything, did you? They said, nope, not a thing. He said to them, but now, see, because he's checking out. They're going to be under his direct protection, you know. That is, he's not going to be physically watching over him like he was. See, they've already gone through their apprenticeship. They're prepared for the next phase. He says, but. So those little words are really big, aren't they? And, but, if, for. Yeah, those are really big words, okay? But now, whoever has a money belt, take it along. likewise also a bag. And whoever has no sword is to sell his coat and buy one. For I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For that which refers to me has its fulfillment. And they said, look, Lord, look, here's two swords. He said, that's enough for now. See, you've got to think about it a little bit. That robe, you know, that's like my coat. You know, you sleep in it. You know, but, you know, it's their protection. You know, that's the one thing they don't give up, it's a coat. I mean, their robe. And he says, sell that thing. If you don't have a sword, sell your robe, buy your coat. Buy your sword, sorry. Yeah, no, I got my mind. Well, I'm thinking, you know, spring's here, I'm going to have to figure out another coat to switch to. So I got to, you know, work on that. Sell your robe, buy a sword. What? For parade drill, no doubt. You know, that's what the apostle's going to use a sword for? Called protection. I mean, the apostle going to need protection? Dangers in rivers. You know, dangers in, among the countrymen. Dangers among foreigners. Dangers on the road. Dangers in the sea. You know, what's that sword for? That's personal protection. If Jesus was around today, he'd like it when boys are playing with guns. See, let me ask a question. What good's a sword if you don't know how to use it? So you see where Jesus stands on this stuff. Now, the Second Amendment, the Bill of Rights, Constitution says a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the existence of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, the purpose of the Second Amendment is so that the militia, which is every able-bodied man, can defend itself, first of all, against a tyrannical central government. Got nothing to do with hunting. You know, one of my favorite pictures, painted in 1801, shows two families standing in snow. You know, it was set about 170 years earlier than even that painting. And the shoes were like they used to have. See, left and right shoes, that's a modern invention. They used to make both shoes the same. So these guys are standing there, you know, husbands and wives and kids, you know, and they left and right shoes are the same. They're standing there in the snow. And each of the men got a blunderbuss. You know what the title of the painting is? Pilgrims on the Way to Church. What do they need those blunderbusses for? Protection. It's kind of like the old Calvinist preacher, circuit rider, going around the country in the middle 1800s. Gets on his horse. Gets his lunch in the saddlebag and gets his sleeping gear in and picks up the rifle and loads her in the scabbard. Said somebody standing around says, I thought you Calvinist. I am. Thought that means you believe that everything's already predetermined. Yeah? That means that when your time has come, your time has come. Yeah? So what's the rifle for? Said, might meet an Indian whose time has come. See, that? Theology kind of goes out the window when you got to deal with practicality. So the purpose of the Second Amendment is to protect the citizenry against a central government that would take away the independent states. So you can, if you're the central government, and you intend to destroy the independence of those states, then you attack that. And you try to sell it any way you can. But you have to understand that all those arguments are all nonsense. The only issue is whether you not, the American citizen, going to have the right to defend himself against the central government. So if the central government's got bazookas, what should the citizenry have? If the central government got tanks, what should the citizenry have? Right of the people keeping bare arms shall not be infringed. What's an infringement? Tell a kid, I want you standing right here. I don't want you stepping beyond this line here. What's an infringement? Infringement, 2 toes, 1 inch over the line. Now, my driving point here is that the ownership, possession, and use of firearms is a biblical concept. See, and as Western civilization developed, it's kind of interesting if you study it. Printing press. Printing press revolutionized the world. See, up to that point, the only Bibles were a few big ones chained to a post in a Catholic church building in Latin. One of the amazing coincidences of all time, 1452 to 1456, Johann Gutenberg in Germany is inventing movable type and how to print with it. Has to actually make 9 major inventions, including printer's ink. You'd be happy to know that the color of ink that he invented was red. Well, that's where red ink got to start. So now it became possible, see, when somebody chose to do so, to distribute the Bible in the language of the common man. Worth a person's time to translate, because it can now be distributed. At the same time, 1452, Byzantium, Constantinople. Where's T.T. at? Constantinople, yep. Constantinople, she read that word to me tonight. You know, great. Grandkids are great, you know. My wife used to have a little sign around that said, if I'd have known grandkids are so wonderful, I'd have had them first. Constantinople was going to fall to the Ottoman Turks. That's why it's known as Turkey today. The Ottoman Turks, they're Muslims. Okay, and they were already beaten at the gates. So the Orthodox priests in Constantinople, they took 22 sets of Greek scrolls of the New Testament to the West. See, so now they have the New Testament in Greek language. And a Dutch humanist by the name of Erasmus, I think it was 1512, then he kind of brought all those scrolls together and he published a Greek New Testament. Okay? 1514, then Martin Luther, he's translating the New Testament into German. See, and the Protestant Reformation cranks up. And so they try to get things fired up. And Martin Luther, the only reason that he survived was he was protected by the hand of God and by the Duke of Saxony. And he ended up being a prisoner most of his life inside the castle of the Duke of Saxony. All right? The Catholics did not want the Bible distributed. And they opposed it. Luke and I were talking briefly about Tyndale, what the early Catholic bishops did to him. You know, he was translating the Bible into English, got some stuff printed, got it smuggled ashore to Great Britain. So the Catholic bishop said, well, come on over and have a meeting with us. So he did. Came over, got him, burned him at the stake. His last words were reported to be, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. Catholic Church opposed the Bible. One of the things those guys in Western Europe figured out, if you're going to have religious freedom, you have to have political freedom. And so they started doing a lot of thinking okay, what does the Bible say? They really approach it from the perspective. What does the Bible say? What are the biblical principles by which you can have political freedom so you can have religious freedom? So one of the first things they figured out was a legitimate government can only do the things that you do. So you have the right to defend your life, liberty, and property. That's a legitimate governmental right to defend life, liberty, and property. Now, I know Roger's a pretty wealthy guy up here. You know, I know he's in the upper 1%, because that seems to be the focus these days. And Roger here, he accidentally left a $50 bill here. Thanks, Roger. Now, I happen to have some really poor grandkids that I know really could use that $50 a lot better than you, Roger. So I'm just taking this. It's not stealing. It's a distribution of wealth. What's he complaining about? He's in the 1%. What's his problem? Now, morally, legitimately, can I do that? No. Hey, Roger wants to give a couple grandkids, $25. Hey, you can do that. But I don't have the right to say, my grandkids need that, Roger, so I'm taking it. See, that's an immoral government. Okay? The guys in Western Europe, they begin to understand that. So, they never could achieve political freedom in Western Europe. They didn't have the moral base for it. It took those that came to the colonies of North America to be able to have the moral and the biblical base to actually establish a republic and type of freedom that would go with that. So they always recognized that the people needed to be self-governing. Okay? And that the government needed to be ruled. Okay? They didn't like standing armies either. I just throw that in on a side. You know, as many, when Pennsylvania became a free colony, when that's quite a story in itself. I mean, if you look at the history of the United States of America, you see God's big handprints all over that. Big ones, not just little ones, not just a flicker here and there. You see big handprints all over this. They couldn't get religious freedom. Now, William Penn himself was a Quaker. He was converted to Quaker belief system when he was 16 years old on a trip to Ireland. And he himself spent a total of about 16 years of his life at different times in British prisons for his beliefs. So when he got the grant from King Charles II to establish a colony in North America, he wrote a constitution for it. And he said in it, "No man shall be molested for his conscience." Now, that needs a little retranslation in our time. You know, what that means is you're going to have religious freedom. So you're not going to be persecuted for your religious beliefs. So an average of four ships a day unloading in Philadelphia Harbor. 500 people per day fleeing from the tyranny and the oppression of Europe to come to a place where they have religious freedom. See, that's why when they got the Constitution, the colonists would not, you know, the new country, the United States of America, they would not ratify the Constitution without a Bill of Rights. Okay? And the Bill of Rights begins with these words, "Congress shall make no law." Those important words. Important words. Because as soon as the government gets the right to tinker, government takes it away. Now, Cotty over here has experienced that. If you look at I have a copy in English of the Soviet Constitution of 1977. Soviet Union Constitution 1977 says you have freedom of religion as provided by law. Now, as soon as they say, as provided by law, that means you don't have any. That's why the founding fathers knew that. That's why the words begin, Congress shall make no law. It's important. The Americans have been systematically dumbed down. There's been 150 years plus of government education that has entirely ripped the foundation out from underneath the average citizen. And so he's totally clueless about the Constitution. You know, most people haven't read their Constitution anymore than they read their Bible. Okay? So, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You understand that all the rest of the amendments mean nothing without the second one? If the guns are gone, or let me rephrase that, if the ammunition is gone, if the primers are gone, all those other amendments, including the right of the people freely to assemble, are gone. See, we need to be aware of the signs of times and understand the onslaught against freedom. Now, we understand that Satan is the great orchestrator. See, that he is the one who has fomented the rebellion in the first place. Who, through deception, deceit, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride, had sucked mankind as a whole into his orbit, into his whirlpool, into his cesspool. See? In order to engage in this continuing rebellion against God, in an effort then to shut the mouths of those who would preach and teach the Word of God. That's what this warfare is all about. See? This was in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle on Resurrection Lord's Day morning, I believe. Yeah. Easter for some of you. But I refuse to call it the day that Jesus resurrected from the dead. I refuse to call that by the name of a pagan goddess of fertility. Ashtar of the Bible became Ishtar of the Babylonians, became Easter for the Germans. Words have meaning. Words like marriage have meaning. Okay. President Barack Obama, this is Dateline Washington. Headline is Obama, : Passover, Easter, a time to pray. President Barack, I'm going to add Hussein, Obama, is wishing a joyful Easter to those who celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In his weekly radio and internet address, Obama says Easter and the Passover holidays give millions of Christians, Jews, and people of other faiths a chance to slow down and recommit themselves to loving their neighbors and seeing everyone as a child of God. Lenin couldn't have said it better. Okay. It's warfare. It's total war on every front. Now, you and I need to be informed so you don't get blindsided by this stuff. Okay? What do you think, Mikhail? Think right now is a good time to buy silver? Yeah. Right? I mean, it's what, $35 an ounce? $20? Okay. So, if you got any resources, well, what do you want to do? Invest in California bonds? Why do you think the stock market is pumped up here? Number one, there's something called inflation. You know, I used to buy gas for 19.9. Remember that? 19.9. Yeah? Well, Don's a little older than I am. Yeah. See, inflation. See, who's doing that stuff? Do they know what they're doing? So, you ever hear of qualitative easing? That's Federal Reserve Bank policy. See, what they're doing is they're buying back their own debt, so to speak. And what that's doing, that's pumping the stock market artificially. Now, if you figure inflation, it's not even where it was anyway, but, you know, it's looking better, okay? So you think you ought to invest in the stock market for your long-term economic, you know, for your portfolio? First thing you should look at when you're looking for a new job is figure out what kind of retirement plan they got 40 years down the road. What do you think? So you've got to get real as Christians here. We've got to start figuring out what's important and what's not important. Hey, if the thunderhead's in the west, you need to pay attention. When I was in high school, I stacked hay in the summertime for the neighbors to save money for college. $8 a day. 12 hours. One of the guys I worked for was a neighbor half a mile up the road named Stanton Frisbee. And he ran the buck rake. So he's out there in the field gathering bales. He had a metal elevator. There's a guy at the bottom of the elevator. Well, he'd bring these the buck rake load of hay in. Then he'd go get another load. And then the guy here, he'd load them on the elevator. And I'm the guy up there in the heat stacking that stuff. Yeah. Now, when old Stanton looked up in the west, because in the Madison Valley, you know, the Tobacco Rut Range is, you know, it's only about 15 miles away max. So that means at 60 miles an hour, you got 15 minutes. So he'd see those old thunderheads. You know what he'd start doing? See, usually what he'd do is he'd take a long load and a short load, long load and a short load, to kind of give the guy on the stack a break a little bit. He'd see those thunderheads, you know what? All short loads. Got to get it in. You see the thunderheads in the west, you got to get the harvest in, right? So, what are your long-term plans? What are your priorities? Do understand the signs of the times. Now, there's a deadening. There's a deadening that's going on in the American public. It's a deliberate deadening that has to go on. Anytime the proponents of tyranny are in the process of targeting their peoples for subjugation. And the goal is to get them to not to think about anything. So, you know, if you read any of the communist strategy, you can go clear back to 1921 and look at communist strategy. And they'll tell you their goal when they start moving in on a country is to get the young people hooked on drugs, alcohol, and sex. I thought we'd advanced as a human race considerably since 1921. The nice thing about the Bible, you know what? I mean, you read people you know about all the time in here, don't you? I mean, you know people that got King Saul syndrome. See, you know people in those parables that Jesus told. See, because people haven't changed. And they're the same wayward children that got booted out of the Garden of Eden. So, Satan doesn't have any new tricks because he doesn't need them. The old ones keep working just fine. Now, Satan's ultimate goal is to work with people who lust for wealth and power. He'll give them wealth and power. I think I remember reading someplace where Satan offered somebody, it went something like this. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, all these I'll give you if you fall down and worship me. Anybody? Is that Shakespeare? You'll get that confused. I thought it was The Merchant of Venice, maybe I was reading. I don't know. Anybody here know what The Merchant of Venice is? Say, Katya, she knows. Anybody here? Okay. She knows. Shakespeare play. Okay. Should read it. You know. Make sure you get one. And if you read it, they'll tell you what, you know, the late 1500s English meant. You know. Merchant of Venice is not so far off, is it? Satan has offered people, certain people, wealth and power. Now, what they got to do in order to get that wealth and power is they have to step by step subjugate the rest of the human race into the ultimate and total monopoly. See, when they get that, then Satan gets his goal. Because they have to obliterate a belief in Jesus Christ. See, it was Karl Marx that said that religion is the opiate of the masses. So every communist state is an atheist state. I forget who it was that said it, one of the great communist guys. He said, we shall ban capitalism from the earth and God from the skies. Yuri Gagarin, when he came back from his first cosmonaut journey, he said he didn't see God out there. You didn't see God out there. He didn't know. See, brethren, it's total war. Total war. Communism, worldwide, has been specifically advanced by the government of the United States of America while pretending to do exactly the opposite. 1920, Vladimir Lenin made a typically long communist speech of about 6 hours. And we summarize as follows. First we shall take Eastern Europe. It's 1920. Then the masses of Asia. Then we shall surround the last bastion of capitalism, the United States of America. We shall not have to attack. It will fall like overripe fruit into our hands. How's the fruit? Pretty ripe. Close to rotten. 1 to 1.2 million abortions per year. 4.5 million live births in the United States of America. 1.5 of those to unmarried mothers. ...80% of American young people live together without being married. Think this book has anything to say about that stuff? Oh, just an old book, you know. Kind of archaic, you know what I mean? Hey, words don't have meaning anyway, right? Nobody can figure out anything. Yeah, I mean, that's a big push. I was coming back from Great Falls about 3 or 4 years ago, and Bloomberg Radio, which I pick up on my satellite. I never listened to Bloomberg. I have no idea why I did that night. I really must have been tired. But they're interviewing Judge Richard Posner of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. Now, Judge Posner, the Court of Appeals is just the court right underneath the Supreme Court. Well, the court's created by the Congress that Congress can abolish any time they choose to do so, by the way. Do you know that the Constitution says that the Congress can tell the Supreme Court they can't even rule on an issue? Article 1, Section 3, that's early. Yeah. They tell the Supreme Court where to get off. They don't want tyranny of the judiciary. Judge Richard Posner, in this radio interview, he's pushing his book entitled How Judges Think. Here's what he said. It is not possible to determine the meaning of the Constitution. It's not possible to determine what the Founding Fathers meant when they wrote the Constitution. It is not possible to determine what this book means. This book can mean anything you want it to. Just like the Constitution is a living, breathing document, it can mean whatever you want it to mean. This book's a living, breathing book. You can have it. It can mean anything. Well, look it. Gay marriage, right? How'd gay and marriage get hooked together? There's nothing. Do you know where the word lesbian comes from? There's an island. It's a Greek island. It's close to what's now Turkey. The island's Lesbos. L-E-S-B-O-Z was the way, B-O-S was the way it was then. Lesbos. That's where all the women used to go. That's where the word lesbian comes from. It's nothing new. See, you are witnessing the step-by-step overthrow of all societies in the world simultaneously. All societies in the world simultaneously. It never happened in history before. Now, two real quick points in closing. Remember what happened when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt? And they got out in the wilderness. And God said to Moses, he said, hey Moses, you've been following kind of a straight course to the land of Midian. Why don't you turn aside here and go around and wander in the wilderness a little bit? Pharaoh's going to think you're lost. This is Exodus 14, in case you're keeping track. Pharaoh's going to think you're lost. And he's going to come after you. And when he comes after you, you know what? I'm going to be honored through Pharaoh. I'm going to be honored. Now here's the Israelites. They've been struggling anyway. In the iron furnace, and then get up in the middle of the night. It's always a full moon on Passover. And since Egypt gets about half an inch of precipitation every 50 years, it's guaranteed to be a clear night. Okay. So, in the middle of the night, they leave, right? And so it's been a hassle, because they had to, have their sandals on. They had to have, the kneading bowl strapped to the back and couldn't have the dough kneaded. See? And they leave. See? So it's been kind of a hassle, being out there traveling day and night, And then God says, let's go get lost. And sure enough, here comes Pharaoh, right? 600 choice chariots, plus who knows how many thousands of other not-so-choice chariots. Was it 600? Did I say 600? Yeah. I'm just trying to catch it on the echo chamber. Yeah. And so he pins them in. Okay, Pharaoh's got them pinned in. They've got the Red Sea in front of them. They got the mountains and the passes and everything cut off. Nowhere to go. Looked totally hopeless. Totally hopeless. God says to Moses, "Hey Moses, speak to my people. Speak to them. Tell them, go forward." You know, how are we going to do that? See, and Moses says, "Stand still here and see the salvation of God." See, and the water parted when he stretched the rod, and they marched across on dry ground. And when the Pharaoh and the Egyptians followed, you know what happened. Every single one of them. Now, there's a parallel between that and what's going on here. See, God's sucking the forces of the new world order in. Sucking them in. Sucking. You know, things will go back, read Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. You'll see exactly what's going on. God's setting it up so he's going to be honored. He's going to be honored to the events that transpire. Our job is to be faithful. See, if he says, go forward, what are we supposed to do?
Forward.
Now, when you're going forward, what do you think you're supposed to do? See, I think there's the commander-in-chief issued some orders. And they come under this heading. All authority has been granted to me in heaven and on earth. Now, here's what you do. Don't let anybody stop it, because what? I got all authority, right? If he's got all authority, who can countermand those orders? Here's what you do. You go, you make disciples, you immerse those disciples, you continue to teach those disciples to observe all that Jesus commanded. And you know what? He said, I'll be with you to the end of the age. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?